let her get seated, and then we'll start. Okay, so let's get started. So the time is 6:08 p.m. on September 22nd, and I would like to call this meeting of the Human Relations Commission to order. Will the secretary please call the roll?
Commissioner Baber?
Here.
Commissioner Custodio Tun is absent. Commissioner Felix is absent. Commissioner Godinez?
Present.
Commissioner Lake?
Present.
Commissioner Medina? Is absent. Commissioner Alawi is absent. Commissioner Pajanor?
Present.
Commissioner Ratner?
Present.
Vice Chair Kina Yub?
Present.
And Chair Branch?
Present. I just wanted to take a few minutes at the beginning of the meeting to remember Simone Silva, Chula Vista Deputy City Attorney, who passed away on September 3rd, 2022. Just going to read a little bit about him, and then if anyone's interested in saying anything, I'll just open the floor for any comments or condolences. Simone was born in Phoenix, Arizona, to Sisto Silva and Josefina Gallegos. He has a brother, Paul, who was 1 year younger than him. Both his parents were widowers and had children from their first marriages. Simone grew up in Salinas, raised by his dad. Growing up in Salinas, next to the fields, he knew school was his way out of poverty. He learned at an early age the power of advocacy, helping his dad and neighbors. Simone went to college at the University of California, Santa Barbara. He liked it so much, he added a second major so he could stay an extra year. While in college, he joined the Marine Corps as a reservist and became a Santa Barbara Sheriff's Department Reserve Deputy. After college, Simone went to law school at the University of San Diego. Simone was a lawyer for 29 years. He had a storied career in public service, Chula Vista Deputy City Attorney, San Diego Deputy City Attorney, and Deputy Attorney General. He enjoyed an incredibly broad area of legal practice over the years. He relished finding solutions through the interpretation and application of the laws, as well as prevailing in court. His last 13 years of legal service were with the city of Chula Vista. He loved his work for the city he lived in. He enjoyed working with his colleagues throughout the city, knowing they strive for what was just and right. It was his sense of duty and commitment to community that led him to run for city attorney. As extraordinary a lawyer as Simone was, he was first and foremost a devoted family man. He met his future wife, Claudia, in his second year of law school. They married after law school and raised two amazing daughters. Simone and Claudia were unequivocally devoted to and supportive of each other. Simone was an exceptional father. He adored his daughters, Gabriella and Isabel, beyond words. His face would light up whenever he spoke about them. And so with that, I just wanted to just stop and just say, you know, a few words from my perspective. I certainly enjoyed working with Simone. I thought he did a great job in advising this commission. He will be missed, and I extend my condolences to his family, his friends, and his colleagues here at the city. I just want to open the floor up if anybody else would like to say anything.
Sure, this is Commissioner Godinez. Yes, Simone, you know, I would see him at community events here. And so he never took his job as a service to community. I think he had a huge heart, and it would show in his work. It would show when I would bump into him here in the community. And it's a huge loss for us here in Chula Vista. So my prayers go out to his family and friends. Thank you.
So at this time, I also would like to welcome a new commissioner, Mr. Vino Paginor. Commissioner Paginor, would you like to say a few words of introduction of yourself?
Good afternoon, fellow chair and fellow commissioners. I'm happy to be here. I'm Vino Paginor. I've been a resident here in Chula Vista since April of 2005. My day job is at Catholic Charities. I'm the CEO there. And Catholic Charities is all across the county of San Diego and Imperial, but more than that, my family I raised over here loves Chula Vista. We had many opportunities to leave Chula Vista, but always we looked around and we said, why should we leave Chula Vista? This is the best place to live. It's got great things to offer, and always been here. And happy to join the commission here and looking forward to working with you all to make our city the best city in the country and in the world. Thank you.
Okay, so the next item on the agenda is public comment. Are there any speakers or e-comments or emails?
There are no requests to speak and no e-comments were submitted under this item.
Okay, so the next item is item 4.1, approval of meeting minutes, approval of minutes from August 25th, 2022. So after you've had a chance to review them, I would need a motion. So I see a motion for Commissioner Kinayub. Is there a second?
Second.
Commissioner Baber seconded. Any discussion? With that, I'll ask the secretary to please call the roll.
Motion to approve meeting minutes from Commissioner Vice Chair Kinayub and seconded by Commissioner Baber. I'll now read the vote by roll. Commissioner Baber?
Aye.
Commissioner Godinez?
Aye.
Commissioner Lake?
Aye.
Commissioner Paginor?
I abstain because I was not present.
Commissioner Ratner?
Aye.
Vice Chair Kinayub?
Aye.
And Chair Branch?
Aye.
And Commissioner Olawi? Aye.
The next item on the agenda is item 4.2, discussion of the annual report of activities and authorize the chair to work with staff to finalize and submit. I see that we have one email on this item. So I'll just read that email. It's from Margaret Baker. I'm glad to see a written annual report is being presented this year, but would like to request the inclusion of the dates of all public meetings that provided quarterly ALPR reports. I would also like clarification of what civilian non-CVPD body is currently providing oversight of the ALPR program. The Human Relations Commission annual report should clearly describe what public oversight has and has not taken place over the past year, and also indicate what the current process is for public oversight of this controversial and invasive surveillance program. The public should not have to wait several more months for implementation of any new privacy policy. Meanwhile, the police department continues to collect, use, and retain our ALPR data. We need transparency and accountability now. So the annual report, there's a draft in the packet. And I just wanted to see if anybody had anything else they wanted to add to what's there.
Well, Well, can I mention something peripherally in connection with this? The University of San Diego's Values Institute, which I direct,
on your mic,
will be having a conference.
Please turn your mic.
Off again. Yeah, the Values Institute of the University of San Diego, apropos of issues about technology, surveillance, and privacy, is going to have a conference in April, on April 14th and 15th, on ethical issues concerning AI, and that includes local issues. It's a Friday and a Saturday, and the Saturday afternoon will include sessions. Everybody is invited to all sessions, but we're going to have a panel of community people discussing local issues concerning privacy and the ethical use of technology. So I'm just suggesting mark your calendars, because apropos of the issue that has come up repeatedly, we will be discussing this, and I hope y'all can come, and we're going to be looking for people to serve on the panel for the Saturday afternoon.
Okay, thank you. So I'm thinking, in light of the comment from Margaret Baker, that we add to the line that says, we basically add the dates. I think she wanted the dates included. I mean, she raises a larger issue of the fact that they're not public presentations given anymore. But I'm just proposing that we add to our annual report the dates that we actually got those reports. So the action item is that the commission discuss the activities report and authorize the chair to work with the staff to finalize and submit the report. So at this time, I'm just asking if anyone has any other thing, anything else, anything they want to change, add to it. And if not, then I would need a motion basically for me to finalize it with city staff.
Question. So are we going to move on adding the dates, or what's the process? Like, do we have to agree that we want to add the dates?
Oh, that's actually a good point. So
it can be part of the motion made.
Okay.
Also, I guess she also wants to know what the current process is for the public oversight. Is that?
Well, I guess it's technically not really a part of our report, but maybe we could add a sentence about how the commission no longer receives these reports.
That part is in there as well.
Is it? Oh, yeah, okay. Okay, yeah, I'm sorry. I remember I did see that before. So if you look, there's basically two bullet points on the ALPR.
So
would you want to add something more?
I don't know. I mean, I see the bullet point where it'd be very easy to add the date, right, because it said the police department presented quarterly.
Right.
The next bullet kind of talked about how we got off. You know, we asked to be taken off, and then we requested the city council reconsider their action at least until another body was formed to receive the update. Has another body been formed?
No.
So what we're saying then is that we're going to continue receiving the update.
We still have a pending request to receive the updates until another body is given that responsibility, but we've heard nothing on that.
Right.
So that request is technically out there. The privacy task force, proposing a body to address those issues going forward. It's possible that those reports will be presented to that body, but that's not official yet, because the task force is just making recommendations, and then the city manager has to make a proposal to the city council.
Is that something we should respond to Maggie Baker with that information? I don't know what needs to be, you know, are we going to acknowledge her comment or anything like that?
Well, unless city staff has something else to add, I mean, we're discussing her comment and trying to include what we think would be appropriate in our annual report. I don't think a responding directly back to her is needed. That's at least my opinion. Commissioner Keene, are you?
I think the report sustains where we stand. My thing is that we asked to be taken off of it. We had a consensus. We said that we didn't want to be the body that responds for this or take on the responsibility. And then we turned around and said, oh, we do want to be the body to take on the responsibility. And the thing is that we're doing this. We're either doing this for the public or we're not. And since we already asked to be taken off, I understand Maggie's concern because at this point she doesn't know who to respond to. But if we include anything else in the report beyond what is currently in there, I feel like then we assume to take on the responsibility and we don't have it. And asking for it again seems like either we want to do it or we don't. We can't be like we want to do it on our terms kind of thing.
So are there any other comments, changes, proposals for the? So at this point, then I would need a motion for authorizing the chair to work with staff to finalize this and submit the report. And as part of that motion, we would add the dates for the when we had ALPR reports.
I make the motion.
So Commissioner Keene, the motion has been moved and seconded. Is there any further discussion?
So it includes the dates then. Are we including the dates?
Yes, the motion. The motion includes the dates.
Yes. It includes the dates that yes. We received information.
I'll second it.
So we all have a second.
Oh, right. Sorry.
So would the secretary please call the roll?
Commissioner Baber?
Aye.
Commissioner Godinez?
Aye.
Commissioner Lake?
Aye.
Commissioner Alawi?
Aye.
Commissioner Pagenaud?
Aye.
Commissioner Ratner?
Aye.
Vice Chair Keene Ayub?
Aye.
And Chair Branch?
Aye.
The vote's unanimous.
So the next item on the agenda is 4.3, discussion and possible action regarding Indigenous Peoples Day celebration. Recommended action, commission discuss, provide feedback, and take action as appropriate to establish an ad hoc subcommittee to work with staff on planning efforts. Does staff have anything to say about this?
Yes, so we did have a conversation with the mayor regarding, or at the last meeting, I guess I'll backtrack, Commissioner Medina had requested we start planning an event that would commemorate the designation of October 12th as Indigenous Peoples Day, which it was by City Council. It is observed on October the 10th. So we've had conversations with the mayor's office, and she has reached out to tribal leadership to be involved to have a meeting next week to start planning what that event will look like. We have also invited it's Chairwoman Erica Pinto and Chairwoman Angela Elliott Santos who have expressed willingness to participate with us. And also, I know Commissioner Medina is not here tonight, but I have had conversations with him, and he is interested in participating as well. And of course, we would, whatever event we do plan, we would invite the entire council, the entire commission.
Is anybody interested in serving on an ad hoc subcommittee? Does anybody have any thoughts about what that event would look like?
Fantastic.
Could you put your mic?
Are
you?
Two weeks. It's about 2 weeks from next Monday. And it would be an event, and I'm not sure if you attended, any of the commissioners attended, but it would be an event similar to what we had for Juneteenth. Similar to what we had for Juneteenth?
So at this point, I'm sorry, maybe you said this, but has anything been sort of laid out? Like
We need to meet with the mayor's office to see what their conversations have been with tribal leadership thus far.
Commissioner Keene, are you?
If nobody else wants to do it, I'd like to do it. But I'd rather one of my commissioners have that first opportunity so that they can be involved.
Does anybody have any thoughts about what the event would, like what could be part of the event? No? Okay. Does anybody else want to be on a subcommittee or work on it? All right. So looks like we have a subcommittee of one.
Commissioner Medina as well.
Okay.
How many is needed?
It's up to you.
Be up to?
Up to?
Five, right? Four or five?
Four.
Oh, four. You're up to four. But it requires a meeting next week, is what I'm hearing.
Correct. Okay. A virtual meeting
so
next week.
Yeah. You have to commit to a meeting next week.
Okay. What dates is the meeting?
I don't have that scheduled yet.
Huh? I would like to be part of it.
I'm sorry, would you like to be on it?
Yes.
Okay. So so we have Commissioner Olawi, Commissioner Kinayu, and Commissioner Medina. So because I need a motion to...
How many commissioners can be on the...
Up to four.
Is that four? That's already
four. Three.
Oh, okay, I'll be the fourth.
Okay. So I would need a, so the motion would be to create the subcommittee and list the people who are going to be on it. So I need a motion for that.
I move that we create a subcommittee of four members for the Indigenous Peoples Day celebration.
And you just can add on, it was Commissioner Cadenas, Commissioner Lowy, Commissioner Medina, and Commissioner Kina Yu are the members of it.
Okay.
Hey, Commissioner Kina Yu, Commissioner Cadenas,
Commissioner
Lowy, and Commissioner Medina.
Oops. And I need a, I'm sorry. And I need a second.
I second it.
Okay. Would the secretary please call the roll?
Right. Commissioner Baber?
Aye.
Commissioner Cadenas?
Aye.
Commissioner Lake?
Aye.
Commissioner Olawi?
Aye.
Commissioner Pajnor?
Aye.
Commissioner Ratner?
Aye.
Vice Chair Kinayub?
Aye.
And Chair Branch?
Aye.
Passes unanimously.
Okay, so the next item on the agenda is 4.4, discussion and update from ad hoc subcommittees. The first one is Data Sharing Technologies, ALPR. And I'll present a report on the Privacy Task Force. So our last meeting was on September 12th. And prior to that meeting, about 2 weeks before that meeting, a draft of recommendations was put out for public comment, basically. And at the September 12th meeting, We discussed the comments that we received. Some of the comments were from city staff, and some of the comments were from the general public. At that meeting, we made some changes and adjustments and decided on, you know, other things that needed to be done to our recommendations in light of the comments that we have received. This coming Monday, September 26th, is the last meeting, and so we'll have to finalize our recommendations. The committee has repeatedly said it has not been enough time, so they probably won't be as polished as we might have liked, but it is the last meeting. And then after that, they're essentially submitted to the city manager. The city manager will then take them and put forth a recommendation to the city council. She can accept some, all, none of the recommendations from the task force. And if you want to see any of the documents, the recommendations, city staff comments, everything's on the website. Does anybody have any questions? I'm sorry, your point. Oh, is there a? Did I get that?
There was one email message comment received under this item.
Okay. Okay. All right. So we did receive an email from Margaret Baker, and I'll just read that. Community members who have been attending and monitoring the work of the Privacy Task Force are very concerned about remarks made by the city manager that clearly indicate that she will not accept the task force's policy recommendations, specifically a recommendation that tries to tie her hands in terms of using drones. We wonder why the city has invested the time, money, and recruited community experts and members to provide input if there is no intention to make the real changes needed to protect our privacy. Over 24 community organizations have proposed 2 ordinances for adoption by City Council to provide an oversight process like those already adopted by City of San Diego, Oakland, and other jurisdictions. We urge the Human Relations Commission to join us in calling on City Council to adopt the protections contained in our 2 ordinances. I will forward the ordinances to you by email. Thank you for your consideration. So, let's see. I guess we didn't get the ordinances. Were the actual ordinances? She said I would attach the ordinances.
I didn't receive them from her.
I'm sorry.
I didn't receive any ordinances.
I received ordinances.
When I do, I'll be happy to share.
So that's my report. I just wanted to see if anybody else had anything they want to raise, you know, in light of my report or the public comment that we did get. Commissioner Kina, you?
Were you present when the ordinances were presented?
So, yes. We have been provided with the ordinances, and one of the issues is that we were told, or it's our understanding that we're not supposed to necessarily present ordinances. Our role is sort of a recommendations, but one of the recommendations can be that ordinances are passed, and I believe that is going to be one of the recommendations. But yeah, we have received the ordinances, the task force has.
What's your opinion on them?
Well, I definitely think that hopefully the privacy board would consider them. I don't have a strong opinion that I can offer at this moment, but I think that there's something to be considered.
You mentioned that the committee does not feel like it's had enough time. And this commission was able to successfully push back on the time limits once for what the city had planned as far as the timing of this group. Do you feel as a committee that you have the ability to push back against that timeline at this point? Or are you, how do you feel? What do you think is the probable outcome?
There have been requests made by the chair of that task force asking for more time, and they have not been granted. I believe the city manager was basically given a time frame from the city council about presenting these recommendations. So essentially that's the direction that's been provided, and that's the time frame we have to work under. I don't know if Adriana wants to add anything
else. I'd be happy to add a little bit. And yes, there have been several requests from the task force to have their deadline or their time frame kind of extended. City Council and the chair branch is correct. City Council, when they took action, they provided the city manager with a timeline when they wanted to receive a proposed policy. And so the task force, the implementation of the task force, wasn't part of council's direction. It was the city manager who established the task force, who saw the value in having a task force come up with recommendations and be that forum for the community. And so there was a schedule. And so in order to give staff enough time to develop a policy and consider the recommendations from the task force, that the last meeting of the task force has to be this next Monday, the 26th. They did add two meetings. They initially had 10 meetings scheduled. They added two. And then, like you said, the timeline for receiving applications to be on the task force was extended at the request of the Human Relations Commission. So I think that covers it.
Okay, I have a further question. I mean, this email seems to imply that the city manager stated that she would not accept a recommendation that tries to tie our hands in terms of using drones. Were you there when the city manager said that? And what was your, do you have a feeling that I mean, this sort of it asks the question, why would the city invest the time if they are not going to actually consider or look at the recommendations? I just wondered if that's I don't know, you probably can't speak for the whole entire committee, but is there some feeling that that's accurate, or do you believe that the city manager cannot look at the recommendations with an impartial eye?
I don't know how to answer that. I believe the city manager said was that part of the staff comments? I can't remember when that was said exactly.
That was at one of the meetings. And it's not exactly accurate. I think one of because the city manager kicked off the commission, the task force's work, and asked, explained like what the what Chair just said, that she was tasked with doing this activity. She wanted to include a community task force to provide input and to provide recommendations. And then she did agree to two more meetings, which, you know, extended the time and extended the costs, which the city manager approved. And I believe it was at one of the meetings where I think that it was like, are you going to accept like all of our recommendations? And she said, you know, she doesn't know, it's not yes, it's not no. And she said, for example, I kind of remember this, like things that tie her hands, she could not recommend that. So she answered honestly as the city manager how she would approach it, but it wasn't, no, I'm not going to take your recommendations. It truly was not that. and the city manager has explained to the commission, and it was explained in all of the interviews, that it is a quick turnaround, it's a fast time frame. I want to get your input on recommendations for the policy that the city manager is tasked with developing. So so she answered, like, are you going to accept all of our recommendations? And she doesn't know. And if you look at the information, I believe we emailed it to you, where the city manager created a matrix that said, outlined, I mean, most of them were, we did green, yellow, red. You know, green is go, red is, you know, no, and yellow is consider, and we explained why. And even the red ones with some changes could be included and likely will be included, but I'm also not the city manager. But so that information has all been presented publicly. It's available publicly, so I invite you all to take a look at that. We can send it again so you can see that matrix. So of the 30-some recommendations that the committee had put forth a few weeks ago, most of them are in the yes or with changes columns.
And I just want to add that it's my understanding when the city manager presents her recommendations to the city council, the recommendations of the task force will also be there as presented to her. So the public can see what the task force recommended and then what the city manager is recommending. And so, you know, that would give the public an opportunity. And I think some of the task force members may also take the opportunity at the city council meeting to raise concerns if they feel like the city manager is not implementing something that, you know, the task force recommended.
That seems
we'll
like
have
a
to wait and see. We just don't know how much, you know, we just don't know. I have no idea what she's going to do.
That seems like a very fair process. I wanted to just understand the basis and what the reality is.
Yeah. So I think that would conclude my report, unless anyone else has any questions, comments. Let's see, the next item would be the AAPI ad hoc subcommittee and the recommended action. Commission discuss, make recommendations as appropriate, and take action with respect to the AAPI ad hoc subcommittee. Commissioner Lake, is there anything you would like to say about this? So my understanding of the status of things is that the purpose of the subcommittee, when it was created, and I can't remember when, essentially, I guess they no longer have any work to do. And so a subcommittee can't be dormant for an extended period of time. So at this point, I think we discussed this at the last meeting, we should basically end the subcommittee. And so we would need a vote for that. Does anybody have any questions or comments about that?
Chair, I have a question.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
So the subcommittee is for the, what's the expansion of AAPI over here? Because there's many abbreviations for it. So this is the Asian.
Oh, Asian and Pacific Islander.
Yep, and so I'm my understanding is right. So it's that Asian Pacific Islanders, right? So what was this subcommittee, ad hoc subcommittee was created for?
Mr. Lake, could you?
Sure. In July of 2021, yes, I brought forth a proposal to address Asian American Pacific Islander stop hate against AAPI community in our own community here. We had a information session in which we were able to have a presentation about stop hate campaigns. The idea behind continuing the subcommittee was to propose or to come up with language for a recommendation to the city council to address the hate against the AAPI community. However, at this point, as stated, the subcommittee has grown dormant and could be resurrected at any point with any kind of direction. But the community has not, I have not received any direction as to what we could do, what recommendations we could make to the city council. So that's where we're at this point.
So thank you very much, Commissioner, because I kind of associate myself with the Asian Pacific Islander because I'm also from Asia,
yes.
Origins are from Asia. So the question would be is would this, would Human Relations Commission, if this committee is closed for the time being, can it be revived later on to look into how we are having this relationship with the growing population of Asians within and the AAPI community within our city?
Yes, I think that that's an accurate depiction of what I hope will happen, and I'd be more than willing to meet with you and talk with you about ways that we could potentially revive something outside of this committee or a subcommittee. But without a plan and without a firm idea, I think at this point the subcommittee has remained dormant for a number of months.
I appreciate the clarification. Thank you, Commissioner.
So at this point, I would need a motion to end this ad hoc subcommittee. I'm sorry. Okay. Commissioner Kinayu.
I just had a quick comment. I wanted to thank Commissioner Lake because she really made all the effort in this commission. It came during a time when I unfortunately didn't have my head on straight, so I wasn't really available all the time, and she made every single effort to reach out. And I did reach out to several people in the AAPI community that were focused on AAPI hate, had done presentations on top of wonderful Mr. Lee who came. But unfortunately, we were unable to coordinate because a lot of people have busy schedules. But I wanted to thank her for all the efforts that she made.
I want to echo that. Thanks as well. So, can I get a motion?
I do move the motion to end the AAPI
Ad hoc subcommittee?
Ad hoc subcommittee.
Second? So the motion has been moved and seconded. Would the secretary please call the roll?
The motion made by Commissioner Olawi.
Yes.
And seconded by Commissioner Godinez.
Yes.
Commissioner Baber?
Aye.
Commissioner Godinez?
Aye.
Commissioner Lake?
Aye.
Commissioner Olawi?
Aye.
Commissioner Pajanor?
Aye.
Commissioner Ratner?
Aye.
Vice Chair Kinayub?
Aye.
And Chair Branch?
Aye.
That passes unanimously.
The next subcommittee report is community survey. Does the committee have a report or does city staff have anything to say? I know you also have it down later as update. Mm-hmm. But we should have received, or at least I've an email with a link to the survey, which has not gone out yet. Is that correct? And so did anybody get it? Everyone get a chance to look at that? And were there any thoughts, comments, changes? Is it okay? Ready to go?
I didn't have any suggestions. I thought it looked great. I'm really excited about it. I did notice that it was in English, and I didn't know if there was a... I didn't take note to see if there was a way to translate it into a different language.
Since it's on the website, it could be translated into any of the 100 or so languages through the translation button. So yes, it can be translated.
Great, perfect. And that translation button is on the Chula Vista site?
Mm-hmm. Or okay. So the person, I guess I never hadn't really paid attention, so the person just picks what language?
Correct.
And then, okay.
Yes. And it's gotten a lot better over the years, I've been told by people who speak other languages. So those of you who speak other languages, if you want to take a look and see how it works in the language you're familiar with.
Is there like a button or like a pull?
Adriana's pulling it up. Yeah, I'll show you. If it works.
And then my only other comment was to talk about the fact that the paper version. And so I wondered, because I had asked about that last time, what is the staff's plan for that?
So we will convert it to a paper version. It prints out nicely, but I'll provide some lines for people to write in. And then we'll put it in the libraries and the rec centers and out here on council meeting days. When we've done this before, we got a number of responses that way as well. And then we just go in and log them into the system, and then that data is collected with all of the online submittals.
And what dates will it be running through?
So, I'll make it live tomorrow, and we'll announce it in our newsletter. So I would recommend, I'd like to do it for at least 3 weeks and then give us enough time to review, you know, to pull the data out for your October meeting. So at least 3 weeks. Yeah, we've had issues with the website. So we'll send it again, and I'll do a screenshot and show you where the translate button is. It's in the upper right. And it might say languages, so we'll have to look.
I got to see the survey. It looks great. I think it's going to be a great tool for us to engage our community.
Looks like Adriana's doing plan B here.
Okay. Oh, she's still trying?
Oh, yeah.
I see it too. But not in my language. Question. Is there a way to request other languages that are not there?
Just a sec. One moment, please.
So this is the button on the right-hand side, if you can see it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I hadn't. Okay.
And Commissioner Lowy, what language should we be searching for?
I already checked. It's not there. It's Yoruba. It's not there.
So you're asking if we could add, so you could add?
Yes. Can there be a...
I wonder if you don't know that translate means translate,
if it's English,
then you don't know to access the button.
Right.
So I don't know if in that same button, and since the majority language I think is, you know, Spanish, could it say translate traducir or something like that?
So we can take a look at that. This is an add-in from our website platform, so I'll have to ask about what can be added. So we will ask.
Maybe different colored flags or something.
So you're going to ask about...
If you don't know that's what it means, then you don't know how to push that button.
So you're going to ask about additional language and then...
And an option to...
A different translate button.
For the translate button.
It is. Right.
All right, so that would, I believe, conclude our discussion of the community survey. Anything else on the community survey? All right, so
Sarah, I have a question on the community survey. So how is this information going to be shared, through what different channels and partners is it going to go through so that it gets into the community?
So we have a monthly newsletter that goes out to 28,000 subscribers. So we'll share it there. It's coming out, I think October 1st is a Saturday, so it'll probably come out Monday the 3rd. And then we will do a press release. We have our social media platforms. We have 30,000 plus followers on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Share it there. Share it with our community partners. Share it with you. So as commissioners, you know, you share it out with your networks, or even if hopefully all of you are following, those of you who are active on social media, hopefully you're following Think Chula Vista, and then when you see the post, share it with your friends and communities. And so that is how we will get the word out about this. When we did this, and I shared with the commission before, we did this for the Charter Review Commission a few years ago. And actually, when you've seen anything where, when the Charter Review Commission brought forth their recommendations to council for the items that are on the ballot, I noticed that they referenced the survey again that we had done to get input from the community. And they got, I don't have my notes, but 100 plus, 130, 160 responses from the community. And, you know, that's more than the people who come to any meetings or any other workshops that we have. I'm not being critical. I'm just saying, you know, it's an easy way. You know, what would I do? Would I answer a survey? Sure. Would I go to a meeting at night? Well, no, I go to enough meetings, so probably not, you know? So we were very happy with the responses, and that helped guide the Charter Review Commission's work in making ballot recommendations. So that, and that's, those are the activities we did at that time as well. But you know, I can't, if I could ask the commission also, but with the Charter Review effort, we did get some media interest, and so I'm wondering if either Chair Branch or Commissioner Lake, since you were leading on this, if you would be available for, it was just a quick interview, you know, to tell anybody on the media, you know, why we're doing this, why you're doing it. So if anybody, if you, or maybe if I could call on each of you, because they're usually quick turnarounds. Can I talk to somebody by two? That's what they usually do. So if you'd be willing for a phone call?
Yeah, I would, but there should be a backup person because...
I'm backup.
Okay, all right. I'll let you know. You just never know. Sometimes you send out press releases thinking, oh, well, hopefully somebody pays attention, and sometimes they pay more attention than you would have imagined. So I'll keep you posted on that.
Okay, is there anything else on the community survey? Or... All right, so the next item of business would be staff comments. Do you have any other stuff?
We do have one other item. So I've been working with my colleagues in the housing department on the Harborside Park. So should I go call that? Can we do that from here?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I have a couple slides to show you. So last night was a community meeting that was held at Harborside Elementary. And just for reference, starting September 30th, Harborside Park was closed temporarily, and an 8-foot fence was erected. The homeless outreach team with a number of partner agencies, and some of that is referenced here, were at Harborside Park on the morning of September 30th to hold... August 30th.
August 31st.
I don't even know what day or month it is. August 31st went out, and we had these partner agencies from our homeless outreach team, the Salvation Army, the East County, Transitional Living Center. We had case managers there from, again, the homeless outreach team, and then South Bay Community Services, McAllister Institute, and Alpha Project. And then medical support from the family health centers. And so on that day, we did get 30 people into some sort of service, either detox or those kinds of services, or just shelter services. So previously this year, before August 31st, there had only been 2 people who accepted services. And for commissioners' awareness, the homeless outreach team, because Harborside Park had gotten so, it had just gotten to be such a serious issue, they were out there weekly asking people if they were ready to accept services, how could we help, that kind of thing. So to get 30 placements on the 31st, the team was very happy with that. They continue to do outreach. The homeless outreach team is out every week at various spots where there are either encampments or unsheltered individuals to advise them, inform them of support and assistance. And sometimes people accept it and sometimes they don't. But related to Harborside Park, we had a community meeting last night at Harborside Elementary School. We estimate that there were 50 to 75 people on a flow basis. It was an open house meeting. We had this poster there in English and Spanish, and we had bilingual city representatives there to explain and discuss with the community what their input for what the park could become. So we also have another survey that is out in the public. We'll send you the link when it's live for public input on what can be done at Harborside Park. So we'll be promoting that and continue to work with the community on recommendations and come back to council 90 days from, so September, October, November, so sometime by the end of November with an update and to get input on what next steps might be. And that could include keeping the park closed for additional time and consider some short and long-term measures that could be taken with the park to hopefully open it up as soon as possible back to the community, and then with long-term plans for what could be done in the future. So I'm happy to answer any questions about that.
I had understood at the last meeting that you had said that the district attorney was going to be there to attempt to help with the transit tickets and stuff, but I didn't see them on the list. Is there going to be an opportunity for...
I'll ask about that. No, you're correct. They weren't there. So,
yeah. I had really thought that was a very good incentive for people to engage in the outreach that was happening that day.
What's the BFS mean? It says Harborside Park has consistently had the highest
calls for service. Oh, yes. That's calls for service. So calls for service with either PD or fire to go to the park for either a medical emergency or a public safety emergency. So you can see there with the arrow, uh-huh. Those are all of our parks,
okay.
And Harborside gets the most. Any other questions or comments for us? Commissioner Baber?
Yeah, I have a question about the history of it. Is it the case, I'm just trying to remember if this is the place in question, where there was an attempt to build high density housing and the local residents nixed it, or no?
I'm not familiar with that, so I apologize.
Okay. Because I'm wondering if that wouldn't be an option. And I'm wondering to what extent local residents should have a say in what sorts of use
this particular... Definitely an option for, I mean, we're talking about reimagining it. So there people have said, like, what if we had a rec center there? Because then there are people there all day, you know, it's a city facility with people using the facility. So maybe that would help alleviate it, and with some other park uses. So that has been mentioned. Even mixed use has been mentioned. So everything's on the table for consideration.
Anything else on the Harborside Park?
I would just like to mention my appreciation for our HOT team. I know working with the unsheltered is very difficult to get them to accept services. So to have 30 folks participate in services, I think is making progress. So thank you.
Thank you. We'll move to Chair's comments, and I don't have any comments. Commissioner comments. Any commissioner comments? Pagenaud? Pagenaud?
Yes, thank you. Today is my first meeting, so one of the things I would like to request is if there's some kind of an orientation as to the nature of the commission here, or, you know, what's our focus, and what, because things could have evolved over the years now, and what are we trying to do as a commission could be very useful for somebody like me as a new commissioner to understand what are we trying to achieve here as a commission, what can we do together.
Well, you know, when we first started, or when this commission first kind of started up again, four years or so,
We had kind of an orientation, and we had a lesson on the Brown Act. I was just wondering, when new commissioners come in, what are they told, or what, you know, what kind of information they provided?
Well, I'd have to double check everything I'm telling you right now with the city clerk, but they do get, there is a training that you must do with regard to ethics, an ethics training. There is a Brown Act, similar to what you received at the beginning, there is a training of that sort about 2 times a year live from the city attorney's office. But then that opportunity, that training is also available online. And then there is a handbook, I believe, you're given with kind of just the general rules and procedures of boards and commissions. But other than that, specific to to this commission, there really isn't like a onboarding or a training. But I am hearing what you're saying and wanting to understand kind of what the commission has been focused on.
Yeah, I got the Brown Act, the guide to the handbook and all of that. What I'm trying to emphasize is more on the mission of this commission. What are we called to do? That's what I'm implying, to make it much more clearer.
Well, I mean, I would be willing to just have a conversation with you or meeting offline to at least give you my perspective. But there's not like a formal...
No, there's a write-up in the... on the webpage, though, of what the city council set out as the goals of the commission or what they would like to hear from the commission.
There's also the municipal code section that established the commission. But I think a conversation with the chair would be great. And then I would also be happy to meet offline and go over the work plan, per se, of the commission. But I think the community survey is going to inform a lot what the commission focuses on next and the responses.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Commissioner Baber?
Yeah, I do note here, I've been Googling around. I picked up a Union Trib thing saying survey of the parents, quote unquote, what they don't want to see is more housing, particularly apartments. And what I'm wondering is, to what extent do local residents have a say in the use of, I take it, it's city land. So could the city of Chula Vista release that territory for high density housing, regardless of whether the local residents are NIMBYs or not?
Go ahead.
Well, there are laws surrounding what cities can do with their land, or what is deemed like excess land. But I think there's a desire to listen to what the community wants and be able to accomplish something that everyone is, we want to hear their input. But I understand on the housing side, I guess. Anne, if you want to add anything.
Right. Well, is the question, could the city, yes. So it would depend on zoning. And yeah, so there would be, like, what is the land zoned for? Could the city do it?
Yeah.
Again, back to theoretically, yes, mm-hmm. You know, but... It would go through a process, and community input is considered, you know, probably environmental review, all of that stuff. So, mm-hmm.
So basically, it's could but would not.
So I guess it they could, but I mean,
but they wouldn't
have they? I mean, I don't remember them doing that on my watch, but I mean, there are things that have come before council where people are opposed to it, but it is allowed. That's the land use that's allowed, and the developer is meeting all the requirements of the type of land use allowed there. So, yes, that land's been vacant for X number of years, and your view hasn't been affected by it, but the land is zoned for housing, and so
right.
The council does approve it, but so it just depends on the situation. But, yes, there are guidelines on what the land can be used for, so we would follow that.
Okay, so it's at the city's discretion.
I guess technically, yes.
Okay.
Commissioner Godinez?
Yeah, I would like to make a comment for our new commissioner. In the beginning, when we began, the city council added the Reinstituted the Human Relations Commission. We were tasked with helping our city become a welcoming city. And so I think that took like almost 2 years, right? If we've been around for 4 years, that took almost the first 2 years where we finally became a certified welcoming city under the Welcome America guidelines, which that was a great accomplishment. I know Anne and Adriana, Glenn and Simone, everybody had a huge role in that. So I would ask you to look that up to see what the guidelines and the criteria were for us to maintain that welcoming city status. And then now I think the survey, like Adriana mentioned, is a tool that we're going to look forward to using to getting feedback from the city to kind of guide and direct us on some of the work that we can take up. Thank you.
Are there any other commissioner comments? Oh, Commissioner Keena, you?
I wanted to ask, do we know who the organization was that won the race and equity proposal for the city?
Yes, the consultant is Tribacy.
What is it?
Tribacy. Tribesy.
And are they local?
Yes and no. It's led by two. There's two principals. One did live in San Diego County, but right now resides in
Riverside County.
Riverside. And
the other one's the Bay Area.
The other one is in the Bay Area.
And will they meet with us once they have a proposal on what they plan on doing?
I think there is a desire to meet with boards and commissions or invite our commissioners to participate in the process. Right now they're doing an assessment internally.
All right.
The organization.
And also I wanted to invite everybody on October 8th in coalition with National Coming Out Day. We are having a rainbow ride caravan. I'm sure you all remember the drag queen story time and all the hubbub that came around that. We started a caravan to go from across South Bay to remind our LGBTQ families that they matter, to remind them that this was not a reflection of Chula Vista. This was outside people that came in and tried to decide how our city sees our own families. So you can dress up your car, come out, and we're going to meet at the Chula Vista Mall starting from 10, and we're going to start at 11 and head over, and there's going to be a little festival, very tiny little festival at Otay Ranch Town Center. But I would like, if the commissioners would like to come out, I'd really like to see you out there, because I'd really like the kids to see all these supportive adults and all these people out there that tell them it's okay.
Can you just say the times again?
We're going to start lining up the caravan at Chula Vista Center at 10. We're going to progress at 11, and then the festival will be from noon to 4 at Otay Ranch Town Center.
Are there any other commissioner comments? Okay, so it is 7:16, and I would like to adjourn this meeting of the Human Relations Commission until the next regular meeting on October 27th. At 6 p.m.